Welcome to Plan That Trip. It's the show where a few friends sit around microphones and talk about imaginary trips in very real places. My name is Josh.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Hannah. And
today's episode's a little bit different. We're going to talk about micro adventures, which is a concept that is derived in literature, but is practiced in our backyards. What's micro adventures all about, Hannah?
Well, one of the big faces behind Micro Adventures is a guy named Alistair Humphreys, who just so happens to be a little cutie, but he's also a British adventurer, author, and blogger. I have his book on my lap right now, which is called, coincidentally, Micro Adventures: Local Discoveries for Great Escapes, which is super cool. It was published in 2014. And Alistair Humphreys is kind of an interesting guy. He spent...
He's very handsome.
He's a very handsome
man. Oh, he is a little cutie.
Oh, yes.
He's got like this...
He's got the hair and the smile.
He's got like that rugged, handsome thing, but also he's a ginger, which is just endearing and wonderful.
Oh.
Yeah, look at that hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Little boy. He's not a little boy, by the way.
And then you throw a British accent in there and you're basically done, so...
Yeah. Well, what's he all about?
So his big thing, if you want to know...
gross.
My mom listened to this podcast. Is that he spent 4 years cycling around the world, a journey of 46,000 miles.
Oh, that's enough miles.
Yeah. And that journey took him through 60 countries and 5 continents. So he's done all sorts of things. He's marathoned through the Sahara Desert. He's gone to the Arctic Circle. Like, he's been just about anywhere. But he wrote this book as a complement to another book, which is called Grand Adventures, to just kind of remind people that you don't have to go that far to have an awesome, awesome time.
I have a question. How did he cycle across the ocean?
Mm-hmm. He's also Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. Jesus was a ginger. Just for funs. But yeah, so the book is very many pages long. It has very many cool illustrations. It's really cool. And it just gives you some ideas and some starting points for local adventures that are close to home.
So the first thing that I think of is actually, it's ironic that he is a bike packer. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was talking about this earlier, a bike packing trip that we took where we started in our house in Lakewood, Ohio. And then we just biked all the way across Cleveland to a place called Kirtland, which is this nice arboretum park. We slept in one of the only campsites that particular metro park had to offer. Got up in the morning, went to the Holden Arboretum, which is just all these beautiful plants, and cycled all the way home. And that was one of the most memorable trips I ever took. Just kind of a weekend... day and a half. And I remember most vividly just cycling through some weird neighborhoods and the wind in our face the entire time.
And that ice cream stand with the like weirdly big servings of ice cream.
Yeah.
That you have like mid ride and then you have like a pit of ice cream in your tum tum.
We're going to need to discuss the fact that you think there could be too much ice cream. We can talk about this later off mic because it is going to get ugly.
I think we should have a whole podcast.
Well, what I should talk about on mic is I don't understand people that can go in the middle of a run or a bike ride, which there's a lot of them that can like pound a beer or can like have a bunch of ice cream and not immediately throw up.
I feel like I could do the beer, but probably not the ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more calories in ice cream, but beer also like...
It's the dairy that does it for me.
Yeah.
The sugar rush.
I was on the Appalachian Trail and there was some trail devilry that I found, which is just slang for like when you leave beer out for hikers to find because you just think that that will brighten their day, which it does. And I ran out of food and I was going up this mountain in Virginia. And so the only thing I had was one of like the Yingling Selects, which is like the 7% Yingling. That's about as good as you get where I was. And so I pounded it as a form of calories. Which was a bad idea.
Because I was going to say, if you're already calorie deficient and then you're slamming a 7% beer.
Right. And so it made sense to me at the time, but it didn't then. And it was the most interesting, delirious walk up that mountain from then on. I didn't have much water too. So, that story is kind of has something to do with what we're talking about. But I just think that I would fail at whatever I'm doing if I pounded a beer in the middle of it.
But I have another good micro adventure story.
Yeah.
It's kind of good. It's super recent too. So I got my first COVID vaccine last weekend and it was kind of hard to schedule. So the place I scheduled it in was a 2.5 hour drive away.
Oh, wow.
It was in Bluffton, Ohio, which is like a little southwest of Toledo. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of cranky about it because it was 2.5 hours away. And then I was like, what if I wasn't cranky about it? And I made it into like a little road trip and I found like a bunch of places I could go. And on my way home, I stopped and I just like walked around in Bowling Green for like an hour and a half with no plans. And I got a bagel and I found some like public gardens to walk around in. That's awesome. And I pet some dogs and like, there was nothing like super exciting about it, but it was really, really good and felt like an adventure. And that's like the energy that I want to capture all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like any adventure that starts and ends with dogs is fine. Mm-hmm. It's great.
What does our boy Alistair say about how to like make a micro adventure happen, or like what are the components of it?
Yeah, well, one of the big constructs that I don't know if he came up with this or if he's just one of the champions of it, is the 5 to 9. Which is, you know, the classic 9 to 5 is your working hours. And then the 9 to 5, or the 5 to 9 rather, is like the big opportunity, right? So what do you do with that 5 to 9 time? Do you go home and turn on the TV and chow down on leftovers the night before? Or do you like, maybe you take dinner of, you know, take out and go sit on a hill somewhere and just take in the world? Or maybe you go on a bike ride to where you're going to go eat that night. Or maybe you decide that you're going to, you know, sleep outside in a tent in your own backyard. But his big invitation with that 5 to 9 phrase is to just think about, how can you use that time as mindfully as you use your 9 to 5?
I don't know. I mean, I guess in the summertime, I'm likely to take my my kayak and put it in the water. Mm-hmm. But it always has to, like, I have to be around friends to really enjoy it as much as possible. But I don't, mm-hmm. I guess in the winter, it's like I don't take advantage of that very much at all. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to improve anything. Mm-hmm. So I have ideas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On how to break down a micro adventure and to make it better, and what the best parts could be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys came prepared with any of these, but my concept is 5 to 9. Let's take 9 to 1. Let's take nighttime. Mm-hmm. So nighttime is a concept we're all familiar with, I'm assuming.
Is that when it's dark outside?
That's when the raccoons crawl in your house.
Is that when the powerful orb in the sky, the one that's like kind of yellow, the one that brings us all the good things, it goes away?
It's when the small creatures come out of the ground.
Oh, yeah, me. Yeah, that's when I wake up.
Climb up your pant leg.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we know what nighttime is, obviously. So nighttime is a time that we don't use a lot. We're often, and speaking for myself, up until about midnight every single night, right? Mm-hmm. Are you saying like plus or minus?
I'm a sleepy girl. I'm real tired.
You also have like a big kid job, so that's fair.
So my thoughts are this. A lot of technology has come up in the last few years about LED technology and lighting and headlamps and all of that. I think that riding a bicycle at night in a park setting where you have all of the lights that you've purchased and gone after could be something really amazing. I have on a few occasions ridden my bike on city streets to like the local ice cream place or the bar and really enjoyed that. But I would love to go on a bicycle trip down in some valley somewhere or on some country road where there's not a lot of traffic, but lit up, completely lit up, you know, mm-hmm. for safety reasons. But since that technology is cheaper and more readily available, I don't know why I don't spend more time past like 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. when the sun goes down out. It's like your internal human timer says, nope, this is the point at which I'm back in my den watching Doctor Who and expecting.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, like I think that there more fun could happen. And so my proposition is that more nighttime adventures. Mm-hmm. Start out your adventures at like 9 p.m. and who knows, pull an all-nighter of like riding or hiking or cycling in safe spaces as much as possible. But I don't know. That's my thought on micro adventures, and that like that's a way that we could like leave the house, have fun tonight. Let's do it tonight. Tonight we're gonna ride 100 miles on our bikes.
I feel like I have too many sleepies for that.
And also that makes me a little worried, not about like, I mean, I guess nighttime's not safe, but that's not where I was going with that. Like, it makes me a little worried because I think one of the best things about a micro adventure is that it's sustainable for your quote unquote real life. Mm. And like, sometimes I do things where I'm like, oh, let's go on a little nighttime adventure, go do something fun at night. And then, you know, I'm up until like 2 or 3, but then the next day kind of sucks. And then the night after that sucks because I'm tired. And then the rest of the week sucks until the next weekend, when you have to like sleep in a lot because that sucked.
Yeah. I guess I should clarify. I don't even have the ability to stay up past like 2 a.m. So like this would probably have to be a 9 to 12 thing.
So like I don't remember the last time that I saw like 3 a.m.
I do like the sentiment though of like, go do things even when it's dark outside. I think especially in winter, because in winter it's so easy for it to be 5 and it's already been dark for an hour and your brain goes, no, it's illegal for you to go outside. Do not go outside. But like you totally can. You can totally do things.
This thought came from the other day where Hannah and I did a sunrise paddle. And it wasn't honestly like the sun coming up that was interesting to me. It was all the little nocturnal creatures that were hanging out as we were going out, like the raccoon.
And you were the nocturnal creatures too.
We were nocturnal creatures. And so here's the thing about morning. I don't know what kind of crazy lunatics get up at sunrise and do stuff like
I love doing things at sunrise, like sometimes I go for a run before the sun comes up and then like you're running while the sun is coming up and it is so good.
So when did you decide that you were a lunatic?
I've been this way for a while. It's just how I am.
I don't understand you, but in a good way, in that I'm proud of you and I envy what you can do. But for me,
I can do very little, but I sure go for it.
So my thought is that like mornings are difficult for me because I like my sleep.
Fair.
And so I would rather do those 9 to 12 hours than like those 5 to 8 hours in the morning. Fair. But that's just my take. And that's my take on micro events. In general, is that why not more nighttime adventures? Obviously, we all want to be safe. We all want to be like going to the right places at night. But like the lights that are necessary to get you out there and to let you see the things so you don't trip over them are available now. And I can talk to you all about them if you want, but I'm sure you don't. I would say that nighttime adventures are my take on micro adventures.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have a take that they want to share?
Yeah. It's not so much a specific take of like a kind of adventure, but something I've been thinking a lot about is how to tell what parts of the adventure are the most fulfilling for you personally. Like I think it's really easy to feel like nothing is an adventure unless it's like big and crazy. Like kind of like we went on a trip to Hocking Hills recently and it was super nice. We rented a cabin, you know, it had a hot tub. We all hung out. It was great. It was like a slumber party. And
there was blood.
There was blood, but that just a little bit of blood. Not that much blood. But it's easy to kind of convince yourself that that's not an adventure because we didn't spend 3 weeks in the wilderness. Yeah. We weren't in danger of running out of food. Like it was just a good time. Walls, yeah. Like,
yeah.
But an adventure is anything that you think is fun. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't feel like I was missing anything on that trip. I didn't feel like I was like sad that I wasn't stinkier, you know?
Yeah. I'm always sad when I'm stinky. So.
Yeah. You're right. Like I hoof.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's an important part of micro adventures is figuring out what part of your big adventures has the most payoff. Because obviously sometimes you're going to want to go on that big adventure. Mm-hmm. But it's not always sustainable in your life because you can't take 2 weeks off of work and be fine. So if you can distill your adventures down to be like, I know I really like hiking for at least 4 miles, but I don't need to hike for 15 miles. Or,
Yeah.
What's the part of the micro adventure that you find most thrilling, Emily?
I think just anything where you go somewhere new and you don't know exactly what you're going to do and you have the free time to decide what you want to do. And sometimes a big adventure makes that easier because if you are 15 miles from civilization and you literally only have the things with you that you carried in, like you don't have a lot of options for what you can do. So you are going to sit down and you are going to relax whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. But you can get that same kind of free time excitement if you just say, you know, I'm going to drive 45 minutes somewhere I've never been before and I'm just going to hang out for a day.
Yeah.
And you can get that if you just try to get it.
Yeah. I like that idea that like it's kind of like, what is the right adventure for that season or that time? That, like, mm-hmm. I remember when we were planning that Hocking Hills trip, it was in March, which is when we're all, like, especially Clevelanders, like, coming out of hibernation after the long winter. And so there was definitely this feeling of, like, we want to channel sleepover vibes as much as we can.
Yes.
We, the posse of grown-ass adults.
The proposal?
Yeah. Like, a hot tub was key. Like, snacks were also key. And there wasn't this feeling that, like, we really want to sweat a whole lot on that trip. And one of my favorite, like, micro adventures within and micro adventures of that time was when, I don't know, I think it was after a big hike and we were all kind of tired from walking around. And I went to go sit on the dock for a second and just took like a little nap while the, like, eagles were flying around and the birds were on the lake. And it felt like a little adventure within an adventure because I was really present in that moment. And I had the good sense to, like, leave my phone up at the cabin. So
I remember having a couple drinks and being, and having seen a bald eagle swoop down and try to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the coolest thing that I saw that. And I just really wanted you guys to see it. And you didn't, because he didn't come back. The chonky boy didn't, the chonkster didn't come back. But that was, that actually leads into the point where, like, recently we took a little kayaking trip out on Lake Erie with a bunch of friends. And it wasn't like the most aggressive kayaking trip I've ever done. It was 1 foot waves. We kayaked for 4 miles, right? Mm-hmm. But it was one of the better times I've been out kayaking because I felt like I was in a group of outdoors people doing the outdoors thing as a conduit to social energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy the social energy more than I do the actual activity a bunch of the time.
Like, the in-between times. Like, yeah. Kayaking's fun, but what's extra fun is that it opens up time for you to, like, talk and hang out with friends, but it, like, is kind of a segue into that.
Well, when I'm out by myself, I'm trying to get fitness, or I'm, like, hating it because I'm not getting fitness and I'm tired. And if I'm out with, like, a too large a group of people or people I don't want to be with, I'm, like, irritated by not being able to do my own thing. But when you hit that magic little group, like going to Hocking Hills or going on this kayaking trip, I feel like you can just exist and not work too hard or feel the need to show off and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I liken that to, like, when you go on camping trips to places that are near rather than planning things that are to the other side of the country and on a very tight schedule, because you have to really make sure that your schedule is maintained mm-hmm. to enjoy that.
Like, remember the raw joy we had on the way to Hocking Hills when we realized we could just put anything in the car? Like, because we didn't have to carry it in anywhere. We're like, we can bring so many pillows. We could have 100 blank. We could have 200 blankets.
We could bring, like, a whole martini bar in the car.
Right. Like, that amount of excitement is, like, unparalleled in my life.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day that was something like, remember that you are now the adult. And so all of the things that you could not do when you were a child, you are now adult. Man. And so do the things. Like, reminds me also when we were driving down to Hocking Hills, we were like, ooh, we need to do a dinner thing. Where should we do the dinner thing? And we're like, oh, we should go to Red Lobster. And there was no apparent reason other than the fact that, like, that is something that we all enjoyed when we were teenagers and we could do it because we're adult people and we had an extra $20 to spend. And so we did.
And those biscuits stayed real well for the next 3 days.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah,
like, this is a hot tip for you guys. If you're listening, it's not illegal to go to a Red Lobster and order 13 biscuits. You can just do that. They let you. They want you to. It's amazing.
They don't care about you just ordering the biscuits. They care, but, you know, they will do it. They're legally obligated to do it.
Yeah. I think that's my take kind of on micro adventures. It's like, I think one of the things, so I was flipping through Alistair's book, and, like, some of the things that he was suggesting as micro adventures would be, like, building a raft or going outside and, like, collecting nature materials that you thought were interesting and turning them into something. But it made me think of, like, all of the things that you do when you're, like, a kid. You kind of look for, like, well, I've, like, kayaked down the river before. So you're always kind of looking for new ways to experience either the old places that you've always been or, you know, you're always thinking about, like, well, what could I make with this thing that I have? If I went outside, I could, like, lash a raft together, or I could befriend that toad and have a wonderful adventure. But you can just kind of look at things with a more open eye instead of thinking, like, oh, well, if I'm going to go on an adventure, I need to, like, paddle for miles on Lake Erie.
I'm so guilty of that. So guilty.
I try to work. Do a raft trip where we make the raft and befriend a toad.
Oh my God.
Just like, I'm about to cry because of how nice that sounds. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so here's my thought. Mm-hmm. I want to workshop this really quick. Mm-hmm. I want to throw out some propositions. Some of this is going to be specific to the Cleveland area. Some of it could be in anywhere around the country that we would like to go. But like, what kind of micro adventure would we like to do? Say we've got like a weekend. You know, like we're working people, right? We've got like a Saturday and maybe like a Sunday morning. And then we want to be in bed nice and early because we got to get up for our sunrise yoga session.
Oh, no, I can't do yoga. I'm bad at yoga. Okay.
Sunrise something session.
Yeah.
Bird watching. I want to do more of that. Yes.
Okay. Well, so bird watching. That's a perfect one.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hannah was making fun of me a lot because I've decided at 29 years old, I'm 31, we're going to go and bird watch more.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and bird watch more. Hannah will be there with me if she wants
to. I want to go.
Oh, well, there
no,
you go.
You must close your eyes. You may not watch the birds, Hannah.
You may not watch the birds.
So we went to our favorite little space on Lake Erie. It's the Lake Erie Lakefront Preserve. They basically sunk, this is cool history actually, they sunk two giant ships and they decided to just fill in the area with just soil. And now it's a bird sanctuary and wildlife sanctuary. And we saw loons. We saw
red-breasted mergansers.
It was mating.
Mating, no less.
Real hard. I mean, not like the actual act of mating, but the males were fighting each other and stuff. And I've never turned and paid attention to that stuff before because I was always this like bro who needed to like, oh, we gotta get some miles in and I don't know.
But this was like
other outdoor stuff.
Maori, what's the name of that guy? Jerry Springer show, like on the water.
Yeah. So I would use that as a starting point we know and love this lakefront preserve that we have in Cleveland and there's birds involved with it and we like birds and birds are fun and it could be a cool thing that we're all currently into. So how do you build like a micro adventure around birds?
I have a side note. You are probably going to have to edit this out because it's not interesting, but it's something that I've been like a little side project that I've been wanting to do for a while that maybe we could like sell at the outpost. Mm. Okay. Consider this a little envelope. The envelope's cute. It's made out of like brown paper tied together with string and you open it and it has a little card in it and some stickers. And on the card, it kind of gives you an idea for a micro adventure. And birds was the first one I was thinking of when I thought of this. So it's bird themed. So it'll be maybe like a location. Maybe it will be as vague as like Lake Erie, or maybe it'll be as specific as like the Lake Erie Nature Preserve. Mm-hmm. And it'll be kind of a list. In this case, it would be a bunch of birds. So it would say what birds you can find there. Each sticker would be of one of the birds you could find.
Oh, that's cool.
And it almost sets you up to fill out a journal page where it kind of like gives you like a little guided thing. So like, you go here, maybe you bird watch for a day. If you find the bird, you can put the sticker in your notebook, write about how the bird makes you feel or write about where you saw the bird. And every single person who buys it and does it will have a different journal that they created from it.
I have never loved anything more. That's amazing.
I like kind of want to make these. I would draw the stickers and like get them printed and package them up. And there could be different ones too. Like you could have like a Hocking Hills one. And maybe it would be like, here's the fire tower. Here's a sticker of Old Man's Cave. And it would just give people like kind of a start to make some really cool little collectible. And I'm so excited about it.
I like that.
That's so cool. And I love that it's going to give you or some artist or whomever's creating mm-hmm. that, like some like everything you buy is going to be unique. So like mm-hmm. it, honestly, I feel like one could pay themselves for that because like, that's a really cool thing that I would pay $25 for that envelope, maybe more,
and
maybe
like,
more.
You get the envelope and the stuff in it's cool. And then you get the experience of doing it. And it kind of gives you a starting point too, because I think one of the hardest things about micro adventures can be starting them because Jesus.
Alistair.
Oh, Alistair.
He's back. I feel like sometimes it's easy to psych yourself out because you're like, oh, I only have 4 hours of free time. Mm-hmm. That's not enough time to do anything. I would just like go to the park down the street and then come home. What if I just didn't do anything? Mm-hmm. But if you have just that little push of like, maybe I am going to do a cool journal, or maybe I do have a specific bird that I'd like to see. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't end up doing anything related to what got you started on the micro adventure, you still have a great adventure.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, really cool.
Emily,
I
absolutely love that.
Yeah. I think that really helpful thing with that is just that spark of imagination where mm-hmm. if I have like 4 hours in the middle of a day on a Saturday and I've had like a crazy week, like I'm not going to sit down on my couch and like put my brain together and mm-hmm. think like, oh shit, what could I do with this like 4 hours that's really unique or feels special or recharges right. me? I'm just going to default to like whatever I normally do with those 4 hours, whether that's like scrolling on my phone or maybe I do like get out of the house and go for a bike ride, but it's not going to be very inspired. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you had something like that at home where you're just like, ah, oh, sweet, like what's the next page of the journal?
Right.
You could like not have to do that mental labor because somebody else has already done the creative thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's stickers involved.
Yeah.
So,
and we love stickers here.
I adore that. And I think that that's something that would really work for me. If nothing, that I do need to be challenged. And, you know, some people, the thing about the outdoors for me is that I always want to, I feel like I should be chasing the sick gnar all the time. I should be trying to do the coolest, most hardcore thing. Because a lot of my friends and a lot of people I know are constantly chasing that. And there's like a FOMO thing. And I think the outdoors makes a lot of money off of FOMO. And I don't think it's great for mental health.
Yeah.
I don't think it's great for we're an evolving species of people that now social media is ingrained in our lives, whether we like it or not. And I don't think it is okay to punish yourself for the fact that you can't do something as cool and as amazing as that every day.
It's like a constant climate of comparison.
Yeah.
And then also, it's fine to not want to do something as crazy as that. Like, it's always cool to have huge goals and to do something where you're like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. But it's also cool to like go outside and see a cool looking leaf and maybe there's a bumblebee out there and maybe the wind is kind of warm and it feels good on your face. And that's cool too. That's just as cool as the other thing.
Yeah.
There's a woman that messaged me, the outpost in general the other day and said like, where should I go on my first backpacking trip? And I said, they should go to exactly where we went in Allegheny National Forest, which is in one of our trip recaps. If you look on our blog. And she said, okay. And then it blew my mind. I'm like, okay, so you're going on a trip because I just suggested it. So like your life is going to be impacted by this brief conversation. And that is the thing, is that I like to be on both sides of that. I like to be on the suggesting side. It makes me feel good. But I also love to be told, this is where you should go. And if you go there, you're going to make a fun time out of it. And you can't convince yourself of that until you're there. It's like, I'm here. Let's have fun. The fun is here. We have to make the fun out of where our environment. And instead of thinking, I need to go to Havasu Falls, or I need to go to Hawaii, or I need to go to, and not that these places don't have fun, they have lots of fun, but that I have to go to those places or else the fun won't be presented to me. You often have to find it where you're at. And that's my motivational speech.
I agree 100%. That's so good. I think like anywhere you go, like you said, you can find something cool. Literally anywhere. And it's almost a fun challenge, like you were saying, to say like, I'm going to go to this place, wherever this place is, just anywhere. And there's something there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is yet, but there's gotta be something. There always is.
So we started this conversation by saying that like, we're going to do a little micro adventure around birding, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So let's say that's our Friday evening, okay? And so we got to spend the night somewhere outside. That's the stipulation of this, I'm going to say.
Big bird nest.
How do we construct
honestly,
one?
Like that could be interesting if you were like, we have to build ourselves a shelter of some kind. Like that's a thing.
I want to get kidnapped by an eagle.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a point. Like you could do, okay, you could do this. This isn't really my vibe, but you could do like a survival oriented or like bushcrafting oriented outdoors event. And I feel like that would make the camping experience a lot more interesting. Personally, yeah. I would want something a little bit more lavish than that. I wouldn't want to like necessarily sleep in a lean-to with a bunch of leaves over me. So let's say we're not doing that for this trip. But my suggestion and something I found to be extremely reliable is Hip Camp. And this is free plug. We'll just go right into our little like segue into our commercial segment right now.
Let's do an ad read. We love Hip Camp. They're pretty hip. Go there.
Yeah, you camp there and stuff. There's our ad read.
Do you want to be cooler? hip cam.
And this has been our first ad read with the Cleveland Outpost.
We've made $0 from that.
So HipCam's a service which is probably going to expand into more services, I imagine, in the future. They do they give people with private land the opportunity to rent out their land and make it a camping spot, which is amazing to me. And when I went on there recently, I found that somebody has this beautiful campsite on the Chagrin River on the east side of Cleveland, which is a river you can't really find camping on otherwise. And I really want to camp there. And so you can do that. And so, sir, you're spending $40 where, like, if you're really prideful, you might say, like, oh, I can go on BLM land and camp for free. Sure. But what's money for if it's not to have a good time on your micro adventure? And I think that you can spare $40 or $50 for, like, a really nice evening. But
I do think that, like, having an element of luxury in a normal trip is kind of a way of, like, dialing that up a little bit and kind of, like, taking that adventure nozzle and I meant to say imagination, but like, you know, when you go out, I remember the one time we went to Heritage Farms overnight, we brought like a little flask of scotch and it was just like, you know, that kind of turned what would have been like an otherwise pretty normal camping experience into something that felt kind of like special and anomalous. And I still kind of think about it. Mm-hmm.
That's also how I feel about, we kind of mentioned this earlier, but in our Hocking Hills trip, the cabin that we went to had a TV and a DVD player and a small collection of DVDs.
Yeah.
And we very easily could have just like watched something on Netflix and had like all the movie options ever. But we were like, no, we're going to watch something from this selection of DVDs. So we watched The Proposal, which is an excellent film. And it was just really, it felt like a real luxury to get to watch The Proposal on DVD and like, it was just so fun and yeah. It just felt so exciting.
But I also feel like we tapped into that childhood mm-hmm. matrix a little bit by like pushing all of the mattresses together and like
yeah.
having a little bit of a slumber party vibe, because we could have just like done the adult thing where you're like, okay, how are we breaking up the rooms? Ah, you're sleeping in the master, like, and done that whole thing. But I think we like embraced the fact that we were going to try to do what? Josh is going to
be. All I can think about is that incredibly creepy doll.
That's what I was thinking.
What was it? Who are we naming?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Oh my gosh.
She was like this, I don't know, like those.
It was kind of like a vintagey looking straw. Like it kind of gave that like scarecrow vibe a little bit, but it was like a entirely black doll with two stitched X's for eyes and like a stitched mouth and a little smile that just hung near the door in this like phantom-esque kind of way.
Yeah, it was the creepiest thing I could ever imagine putting in. Like,
and of course, we put it in our beds for fun.
Yeah, we didn't put it in our, well, I mean, we did put it in our beds, but she had her own room. We were very respectful. We tucked her into her 4-poster bed. You know, she got a whole night's sleep. It was fine.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that Elizabeth did not get up and float around the house and summon demons and all those critters that crawl out of the ground at night.
I mean, there was blood.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, basically, winding mm-hmm. all of this into kind of like a conclusive idea, I would say that micro adventures are something we wanted to talk about because it's what we do most often as a crew. You know, there's a lot of stuff in between these crazy trips that we plan. And obviously we've taken all the trips that we've ever proposed, right? We've been to every place. Wait for our YouTube channel.
Obviously.
It's going to rock. But micro adventures are awesome. And I think that they are in a lot of ways the future, because with the Zoom generation, with people working jobs that are remote, I think that people are going to, you know, their time is going to be with working is going to be more ingrained with their lifestyle. And that means that you aren't necessarily going to be able to take 6 months off to just do you. But at the same time, you could be in a very amazing place. People can work in places they never imagined before. And so you just have to make use of that day or two off. And I think that we as a culture need to start thinking about that a little bit more.
So I think a good idea, we don't even necessarily have to pick a specific place. We could just say, like, let's camp somewhere nearby, maybe get a place off of HipCamp and CVNP. And we could, before we go, just do a quick Google search of, hey, what kind of birds might we see? And maybe write it down on a post-it note and bring it with us. And then it's just a fun little thing to have with us. And if we see a bird, maybe we don't know what bird it is. We look it up on the internet. We find out what kind of bird it is. We can check it off on our list. And that's super fun.
So here's what I'm thinking about this is that, like, if I'm going to go try to see birds, mm-hmm. like specific birds, that is changing the dynamic of where I want to go. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer going to go right in the middle of the woods. I'm not going to go hiking for 10 miles. I'm going to instead like find the valleys that I might see, you know, blue herons, or I might see eagles, and I'm going to skew towards those, which is going to take me to an entirely different place that I wouldn't visit if I was trying to get a hardcore hike out of it, mm-hmm. or a bike ride. I like that. I like that because mm-hmm. if I have this checklist, I'm going to go to places with my competitive attitude mm-hmm. and try to see these damn birds. And if I don't get every single one of them,
I'm going to cry about it alone,
which will be in a very adventure sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're talking about blue herons reminded me of, like, I guess it kind of goes with what we were saying about micro adventures, feeling so full of that childhood excitement. When I was a kid, we had a, creek and then a reservoir in my backyard, and there were three or four blue herons that were just kind of always there, and they fished in the reservoir. And I have so many childhood adventures of just like going to sit in the grass in my backyard waiting for a blue heron to come eat a fish. Mm-hmm. And in my memory, I was like bushwhacking through the jungle, and I was like Rachel Weisz in The Mummy. Oh, yeah. Like I was just sitting in my backyard in like a subdivision. It was so fun and exciting. And sometimes when I go on these micro adventures, I feel the same kind of like just like giddy excitement about like, this is super fun. And I guess I feel that sometimes on bigger adventures, but I don't know if I feel that way as often. Because I think bigger adventures in and of themselves have a more adult feel to them. Right. Because
You're responsible for logistics. Yeah. Like you have to get yourself, for example, from like Ohio to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, there's a train, there's plane tickets, there's luggage. Like, whereas I think if you like go walk down your street and you're like attuned to the birds that you're looking for on your bird walk, like you get to be much more present because you're not trying to do all of
that. Man, that gets real the more that you think into it too. Yeah. Because If you think into it that way, it's like, how many logistics do you have to get to just get to Colorado? You know, the driving, the
rental car,
the money,
traffic in Denver. The money is a big part of it too. Like you don't have to spend a grand to go have a cool adventure.
And you could go 3 or 4 days of that trip without ever getting to the point where you can finally just stop, relax, and enjoy what it is that you're looking for too. Huh.
I think sometimes those trips, like you go, you have what you feel like it's a good time, and then you come back and you like feel like you need a break from your break because you've been so on the whole time but not really had a chance to unwind. I think, not to get like really cliche, I think the term mindfulness gets overused and overrated, but I think that that's kind of a big piece of micro adventures is that like that kind of openness and that eye towards things that you don't otherwise notice. That gets turned on when you're not trying to go somewhere super exotic and you're just looking for the exotic and what's already there.
What that reminds me of is like the thing that feels most like a micro adventure to me without actually being any kind of adventure is if you're walking around somewhere, Lakewood has a lot of these where maybe you're walking, you look kind of like close to the ground, maybe on a tree, maybe on a building, and people will put these tiny fairy doors.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 4 or 5 inches tall. They're a tiny door. It's supposed to look like a little fairy lives in there. That's the energy that I want in all my micro adventures, where you're just the same place you've always been, but now there's a fairy door there and you didn't notice it before and now you did. And it's the same place you go every single day, but it's exciting.
But it's there now, yeah.
So when I saw the fairy doors the last time, we were in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And there was like this, we were walking up this place. It was on a street which had no pedestrian
very
traffic.
Industrial.
It was very industrial. So you look to the left and there are just these fairy doors going up the entire way on the, and what's funny is that hearkening back to everything we just talked about, my first thought was very adult. It's just like, did somebody come down here in the middle of the night and affix these to the side of this building? I'm not saying that I dislike it, but I'm also saying that's dangerous for them and
really
the environment.
31.
And then I...
I'm sorry.
And that was the sound of Josh leaving.
I was going to say,
hey. Here's Lumberjack Josh taking over for him.
Oh my God, Lumberjack Josh is 35.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But I think like, like creating like one of those tiny libraries or the free libraries is kind of like a micro adventure too, because you're like creating a little bit of magic in a street that's otherwise just like,
okay, let me tell you something that's very 31 of me. Are you ready?
Okay,
I freaking love plants.
I never knew
that I would appreciate plants as much as I do, but here I am looking at our plants every single day and loving and enjoying the concept of growing them slowly and wondering what kind of joy and flowers they're going to bring to me the next day. But
like new micro adventure idea, like go to, I can picture this as one damn hike that I have done so many times because it's the place, like I said, that I default to when my little imagination spark in my brain goes south or is not turned on, which is that place from like, it's in the CVMP and it goes from like the Brandywine spot right by the ski hill up to, you know, 5 or 6 miles north of that. And I've done that trail so many fucking times. But I would love to go down there with like a tree ID book and walk that same damn hike with a little fresh sense of adventure, because I'd be looking for bark and like buds on trees and leaves and looking for trees and actually finding the names of these trees that I've walked past 100 times. But talk about like a 30 something thing that you could do. So, but I think tree ID is awesome.
Really deep thought associated with this. Do you think we're having this thought originally, or do you think that this is something that just comes to people when they get to like our age and they start to get to a certain point in life?
This is, like, I don't think there are original thoughts, but that's not bad. Ooh. Like, everyone's had the same thoughts before, but also you have a whole different set of experiences that led to them. So they are original, even if they're not. And I don't think it matters.
Emily, get out.
Okay, bye.
Just made this, I feel too like hard.
This got too hard. This got very meta.
Okay, bye.
So back to our trip really quick. So we've gotten all the way to Saturday of our Friday to Sunday morning thing. And Saturday, we're going to go to all the places that we can try to see our list of birds that we've made that are regional. I would propose that on Saturday evening, you find like a different campsite. You don't go back to the same place. Okay. Then that's just enough interesting. And you could use the same format. And here's a thought. Maybe make Saturday night a little bit more posh than Friday night was, because you've spent all day adventuring and maybe you're a little bit more tired. Maybe you find that cabin for Saturday, but on Friday it was just a campsite. And my thought in going to a different place is perhaps you didn't backpack in. Maybe you drove around and went to this place. But by going to a new place on Saturday evening, it is kind of like you made your adventure seem a little broader, even though it was confined to a couple days. I don't know. Thoughts on that? You could go back to the same place. That might be easier and more logistical.
I think either could be fun. I like the coziness of like coming back to the same place, but also I like the idea that even in a small adventure, you could go to multiple places. So I feel like do whatever you're feeling.
Coin flip.
Yeah.
Coin flip. I think the randomness of something like a coin flip that is a cool thing to introduce to micro adventures. One of the things in the Humphreys book is he talks about like going down a street, and you've probably heard this before as like a random date night idea, but going down a street and flipping a coin right or left, and kind of ending up where you end up. But so, I think like a random choice maker like that is a cool thing.
How would we employ this random choice maker for what we do on Saturday evening? Will we find two campsites and just flip a coin?
I mean, that's one way of doing it.
Maybe heads is stay at the campsite you were at. Tails is go somewhere else.
I love that. Yeah.
And maybe you have to plan that ahead of time just because you'd have to like book the campsites, but you can still do the random part of it. And that'd be cool.
Cool. So yeah. And so Saturday evening, we'd be at some conceivably new campsite. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite part of every camping trip is like the celebration ride back or something. So we're in town, right? Mm-hmm. So my breakfast. Just a really good breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Like a celebratory breakfast that doesn't even seem quite earned. That would make me so joyful. Are we in agreement about that? I feel like that's
I'm always in agreement about breakfast. Like maybe there's waffles involved. Maybe there's a potato product. Maybe
or
a
eggs
juice.
For the bird theme.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
Ooh.
It's taking a dark turn.
Yeah.
We love birds so much. We stole their children to slurp them down.
Yeah. So in general, we just planned ourselves a little micro adventure trip.
Oh, wait, one more thing. What if on Saturday night we get like a 6-pack of exciting beer from wherever we are? Or maybe if there's no breweries there, we just like get something to get excited about. Maybe it's not beer. Maybe it's cinnamon rolls. Maybe it's anything, just something that small, but you're super pumped about it.
A local delicacy.
Yes.
Like, what are they, punchkis in Cleveland? That's like a Cleveland thing? Or what else do we do here? Corned beef.
Or even just like go to the grocery store and get like a pack of cosmic brownies or something. Just something you're like pumped about.
Yes, something you're pumped about. So that's our trip. That's our micro adventure. And I hope that you're inspired by micro adventures. I really wish and hope that anyone that's listening to this podcast messages us and tells us what they think about Emily's idea of a kind of like sticker adventure. How would you summarize it?
I don't know. Some sort of handcrafted choose your own
adventure
journal adventure. Maybe.
Like like prompts is what I'm thinking. Yeah. Something to get your kind of like to do the imagination work for you a little bit, but let you fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Well, if you like that idea, which I love that idea, and I feel like I'm going to act on it anyway, but if you have any suggestions, please email us at contact@clevelandoutpost.com. But Emily, that's amazing. And that's a great idea. And
it's like a little bit in the works already too. So,
ooh, well, your suggestions may really help then. Well, this has been Plan That Trip. And just to recap really quick, what our little micro adventure was, we decided that birds were our theme. I'm going to do it. Hannah, is that okay? All right. We decided that birds are our theme. We like birds a lot. So we're going to go to the Cleveland Lakefront Preserve, which is a place that you can see lots of migratory birds here in Cleveland on a Friday evening, hear the chirping and the feeding hour. And then we're going to spend our night on a campsite we found on Hip Camp, which is just a version of Airbnb, but for campsites that you find online. We're going to wake up Saturday morning and we're going to try to find every bird that we've selected off of a list of regional birds that we want to see. And that's going to take us to some interesting places. And then that Saturday, we've built in a bit of randomness where we're going to flip a coin, and that's going to tell us where we spend our night that evening. It could be a new campsite, could be the one that we already chose. Obviously, some logistics go into that, but this is an imaginary trip, so we're going to let it fly. And then finally, on
bird pun.
And Sunday, we're going to have a fantastic breakfast, probably one of the best places or that we can find, or the one of the things that brings us the most joy. So that we have just summed up a little brief weekend adventure that stayed close to home. And I think that we should do it. Like every other trip that we've obviously done, this is going to be one that we do. What do you think?
Yeah.
Birds.
Birds, man.
Love birds so much. Well, this has been Plan That Trip. I'm Josh.
I'm Emily.
I'm Hannah.
And
we'll see you next time.
And I'm a bird.
It's true. Bird. She's a bird. She's been a bird this whole time.
If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
Have you seen the northern lights that shine?
Trip is a presentation of the Cleveland Outposts Network of Podcasts. You can find out more about how we're making the outdoors more accessible for everyone by visiting our website at clevelandoutpost.com. Our theme song is Tune for the Traveler by our good friend Andrew Bonas. Check him out at bonasmusic.com. You can submit your questions or comments to contact@clevelandoutpost.com, and we might just address them in future podcasts. Thanks for listening.